Just want to mention this too before we get into our study here in just a moment. I want to make sure everybody has a handout. Hopefully you're able to receive one of these. And then if session 17 is the outline, if you have those, if we could get some ushers that maybe make these available that are back there, Tim, just make sure you grab one of these. If you don't have one of these little charts right here, could you raise your hand? We'll get you one. Yes, right down here, Miss Margaret. It's good to have my mother-in-law here tonight, Miss Margaret Ike DeFlesh, traveled in from Minnesota to be with us for the next week. How thankful I am for her and being here with us. Miss Margaret, can you raise your hands? People are looking for you, I think. She's right here, right here. There you go. Amen. So good to have her. Right. Yep. The baby and Joanna are doing great. Little Chloe seems to be doing well. Had a good doctor's visit today with the pediatrician and very grateful. Thank you for the praying. You guys have just been so gracious to us and supportive and encouraging. Meals, notes, just your prayers. Most importantly, the Lord has truly answered your prayers and we thank Him for it. Joanna, I think, is trying to get her on a little bit of routine. I think she's had a couple times where she was able to get at least a 3-hour straight rest. And so that's actually pretty good. Hopefully that will get a little better as we go along. And I feel bad when people ask me how I'm sleeping. I almost don't want to answer because I'm really sleeping well. But I am thankful for that. But thank the Lord. I do want to just mention this as kind of a maybe a little of an introduction to some other things we're praying about for this room, maybe even this year, that will, with these two units, other things we're looking at doing, and you've heard me talk about this before, we're in the process of getting some pricing, as anybody knows, with construction right now, getting contractors to look at things and get quotes. It's sometimes like pulling teeth, but nevertheless, we're looking at replacing the windows in the sanctuary that would be insulated and would be much more energy efficient for our sanctuary. And they would aesthetics of it would be different as well. We would not go with the same green, if green at all. But the other thing is the insulation. That's something we're looking at doing. And one of the things that I know we kind of have half and half on this, sometimes feels like a little civil war going on with the hot and cold, but with all honesty, it will help in that regards because we will be able to have much better control over the temperatures. But right now, we have to bring it down, especially in the summertime. We have to bring it way down and then allow it to warm up because it usually warms up a good 5 degrees. And so by doing that, if you bring it started off at 75, then you're looking at possibly 80 by the end of the service. And so it's that because of these poorly insulated windows, and it's really bad, the energy efficiency. So in the coming weeks, we'll be giving you some more details on that, and I'm very excited about that possibility. But just wanted to put that out there, be praying that the Lord lead us and give us the right people to get at the pricing that we need. But not voting on that tonight. Can you find your place in your Bibles, please, in Isaiah chapter 41? We're continuing our session on overcoming your anxiety and fear. This is part one. And we should finish that up tonight. As we continue our series written by Jim Berg on taking time to quiet your soul, we have discussed, if you have your outline there with you, several aspects: understanding the nature of your emotions, understanding the source of your fear, and tonight we'll look at reviewing the path from unbelief to anxious thoughts. But notice with me in Isaiah 41, I'm going to read a verse here. that is just super comforting to every single believer. Notice what the Lord says to Israel here, and we know that this applies to us too because these same promises are repeated to the believers in the New Testament. But he says here, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." What a great promise, is that not, church? As we think about each of these, we can take to the house tonight. We can take it to heart for you personally, right where you're at tonight, right where your family is. This is for you. This is for me. And as we think about this truth in light of our study, we remember that our emotions are simply indicators of what our thoughts are saying, or what we're allowing our thoughts to say. It is indeed, as we looked upon that and a couple things that we'll look at the chart at the end, but I would just want to make a couple things clear here as we look at the fact that the thoughts are the initiators of negative emotions. And, you know, I gave the illustration of the lights on your dashboard. I just had one come up. I think actually this morning it came up, the idea of maintenance required. And so that was telling me that it's time to change my oil. And I know that it's not a dashboard problem because it's consistent with my miles on my odometer. So I'm right at about that 5,000 mile mark where I get my oil changed. And so there's that light. So a problem is not the dashboard or that light, that indicator light. That is telling me that what's going on with my oil, it needs to be changed. It's an inner problem. Well, our emotions are just like that. The emotions that you experience and express, that your body goes through, those are simply just indicators and telling you that something's going on deeper inside. And that is with our thoughts. What are we thinking upon? And so we looked at those things, and then we moved into the letter B there of understanding the source of our fear. And notice with me, we noticed that this emotion of fear was a result of the fall. In Adam and Eve, it did not exist before the fall, but now it does. And notice number four, fear is sinful. And I think this is very important to note and review. Notice number four, fear is sinful and not helpful. Notice when in our unbelief we allow anxiety to stop us from fulfilling biblical responsibilities. So you just apply that in your life wherever the Holy Spirit gives you leadership in that. But if something is keeping you from doing what God has commanded, that's when it is wrong. It's sinful. I mean, Brother Berg brought up the idea that, you know, I'm sure Daniel was not naturally inclined to go to the lion's den. It's not something he was dreaming about doing, wanting to do, but because of his desire to honor God and by praying and fulfilling the will of God and not being ashamed about that, that's where he went. It was dangerous. And you may think sometimes in your life that, wow, that's scary to think about doing that, or that's dangerous. Well, this is what we have to come back to. If it's the will of God, you do it anyway. That's what we have to come to terms on. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same thing. Not naturally inclined to go into a fiery furnace, but because they would not bow, that's where they ended up. And God did protect them. They were not being presumptuous. They were not being prideful or arrogant. It came from a heart of, look, we're just going to do what God has commanded us to do. And what the consequences may be, we're going to leave that up to the Lord. And so that is the idea that we understand. And notice number 5 on your outline, it talks about how anxiety is the result of responding to the uncertainties of life with a wrong view of God. With a wrong view of God. That is what it is. So we want to respond to the uncertainties tonight with the right view of God. Remember all those characteristics we studied? God of power, God of wisdom, God of grace, God of mercy, God of love, God of faithfulness. We talked about all those characteristics, and that's what, when we look at our uncertainties in life, that's what we think about. We think about Him. I've heard several testimonies just in the past few weeks from even some of our members on just going through a trial and just trusting God and not being overtaken with anxiety, but working through that. Not that there wasn't moments of it. Hey, we're human. We all have that. All right. But we come back to the light of, let's look at this situation in the light of who God is. And that's how we handle it. So tonight, can we just be reminded that you are responsible for your own anxious, fearful thoughts. Can't point the finger. Say, this is your fault. Or God, this is your fault. Or the circumstance, this is your fault. It's my boss's fault. It's my mom and dad's fault. It's my children's fault that I'm feeling this way. No, we are responsible for that. And we take ownership. It was so funny the other day, Caroline got a report from school. You know, we always are asking how things are going. And this particular day, we had a little note from the teacher. You like those little notes from the teachers, you know. Well, not always, but sometimes they can be good. And we got some teachers here tonight. But this particular note said, had a hard time being still. So we asked Caroline about that. So, Caroline, you know, what's going on? Tell us what's happening. Are you having a hard time being still? This is what your teacher says. And she says, I can't help it. I said, wait a minute now. Listen, you can help it, Caroline. You can do this. You can have control. And you just have to tell your body to stop moving. Well, I worded it that way. And she said, my body won't listen. I said, all right. I had a little project to do right there, a little experiment right there on the spot. And I said, honey, there was a glass of lemonade or whatever on the table in front of her. I said, honey, tell your hand to grab that glass of juice right in front of you. And she said, okay. She grabbed it. I said, see, your hand listened to you. You told it to move and to grab that cup, and you did it. I said, let's try it again. There's right there. Just tell your hand to grab that glass of juice. She didn't move. I said, what are you doing? She said, it won't listen. But you know, that little illustration right there, we are like that as adults. And a lot of times we allow things to control us, these outward circumstances. We allow other people to control us because we allow them to. And we have control over our thoughts and how we think about these things. And you know, as we studied in here, God designed the body to be servant to the heart. Always remember that. A lot of times in our society, in worldly thinking, a worldview is the other way around. You know what? Our life, okay, is servant to our body. It's what my body wants. Everything else is servant to that. Well, in God's view, it is to be a servant to the heart and allowing the Lord God to control us because our heart is surrendered to Him. We are seeking to be under control or another Bible word is to be filled with the Spirit. And that is our goal. But notice there, number five, again, is the result of anxiety, is the result of responding to the uncertainties of life with a wrong view of God. Let's keep in mind of verses like we read in Isaiah 41:10. And there are others. I think of Proverbs 1:33 that says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely." That word carries the idea of uncertainty. "And shall be quiet from fear of evil." That's Proverbs 1:33. God promises us that. But let's move to letter C tonight, reviewing the path from unbelief to anxious thoughts. Number one, notice what we have there. And can I just make this comment real quick? Folks, no matter what you are dealing with as a believer, our situations are never hopeless. Never. And when we start thinking otherwise, anxiety, fear. But there's not a situation on the face of this earth that is hopeless, ladies and gentlemen. And we can be encouraged because of our right view of who God is. But notice with me, number one, this begins with unbelieving thoughts. Notice what it says right there in your outline. This is the thinking pattern. God is not doing enough for me to feel safe. God Himself is not enough for me to feel safe. I need something more. This something more can come in all kinds of flavors and varieties for all of us here tonight, if we're honest. It might be, I must have control. I must have knowledge. I must have high performance. I must have safety. I must have possessions, and so forth. You go down the line, but it is that idea indeed that God is not doing enough to make me feel safe. And Himself is not enough for me to feel safe. I need something more. But notice number two, then there's the discontented thoughts. The discontented thoughts can look, it's right there in your outline, can look a little something like this. If I only had, if I only knew, if I only could avoid, if only I could get. Those discontented thoughts come from the unbelieving thoughts. There's also, I should be, or I should have. And then also the third one there, I don't like this situation, and it's just discontented thoughts is what it is. And then thirdly, again, it just leads to anxious thoughts. The what ifs start. Oh man, does that not get all of us, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, let's be real tonight. What if this happens? What if this is going on right now? What if? What if? What if? And we build up these scenarios in our life, and it truly brings some anxious thoughts. He has written here, "Worriers meditate upon uncertainties rather than upon the certainties of what God is and what He has promised His children." So again, worriers meditate upon the uncertainties or either possibilities instead of focusing on what, as Philippians tell us, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True." True. That's what God's people should be meditating upon. Here's a little bit of a chart that was given in the book. You have that before you. Let's throw that up on the screen too, just in case you don't have it. But notice this anxiety-generated noise in your soul follows the dynamic below. Look at there. Starts off with a sense of uncertainty. All right, that's that I'm not safe feeling, or I must have something more. That goes down into the discontent with uncertainty. I don't like not having the certainty I want. And then that goes to the effort to achieve certainty by my own control. Basically, you're going to manipulate your situation to fit what feels good to you. And that is sinful. And I'll do whatever it takes to make this happen. But that's not what we should desire as God's people and what we should long for. By contrast, notice the second one is a biblical approach to vulnerability and would flow follow this dynamic. Number one, sense of certainty. That's what everyone in this room should have tonight. I am safe in God's care. Number two, content with present situation. I don't need anything more to do God's will today. Another reason you don't need to believe, another way of saying that is, you as a child of God don't think you're lacking anything tonight that you cannot fulfill the will of God that He has picked out for your life. You have it. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, Peter says. And then notice the third one, freedom to serve God and others. I love this because this is where we're at. This is where we want to live continuously every day. I can put all my effort into serving God and others today. You know, we don't want to be distracted by anxiety. We don't want to be distracted by fear. I want to serve God freely today. You know, I just think about, wow, you think about what God is wanting to do through your life today. And you'll come to this conclusion, man, I don't have time to worry about this. Some things that I don't even know for sure. Situation that is out of my control. I'm telling you what, God, I just want to submit my thoughts to You. And I want to serve You freely today. I don't want to be hindered by those things. And so that's where we desire to be tonight. I hope that's where you desire to be. And then in closing, look at the conclusion on your outline to this chapter. Notice with me, it says, our noisy souls will rest from negative emotions, including fear, when our choices and our thoughts reflect that we are living in the reality of a God who is more than enough for us. That, my friends, is where we want to be tonight. And I hope we'll all leave this way. I hope we'll all follow exactly what these truths are teaching us in overcoming anxiety and fear. We'll pick up with part two next week with the Lord's help. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for these truths tonight. I know, Lord, as I've studied over these points and verses, I have just been so helped by Your Word and by this particular study. Lord, I don't have anything to worry about. You're faithful. And I don't need to have a spirit of anger, a spirit of worry or anxiety. There's no reason at all. And Lord, I have full control over my thoughts by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for that tonight. And I pray tonight that none of us would be dismayed. I pray that we would understand that our God is here to help. He's here to strengthen and to establish. Lord, help us to all have quiet souls tonight that are not noisy with anxiety. Thank You, mighty King. We love You and we honor You. In the blessed holy name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.